Good morning, family. Good job, good job. A couple things. First things first, I want to encourage you, especially parents with young ones, okay? There's a beautiful little, I want to say it's a poem. Is it a poem? Or is it? It's a poem that's written to parents who bring their little ones to church. And as Mount Eaton family, we encourage and absolutely love them being here. So I want you to know, it's obvious that they're here, that we are so thankful that they are here with us. Amen. And that you are here with us. Amen. As they learn to grow and as they learn these things, things change over time. And I just want to encourage you with those words. I think it's important that as it was in the early days of the church before Sunday school and quote-unquote children's church, kids sat in church with their parents. And it's important that they hear and learn and develop and to grow in the faith with us together. So thank you, family, for being so gracious and understanding. And I want them to know that this is their home as well as it is ours. And they mean a whole lot to us. So if you would, please, stand as we read the Apostles' Creed. Read with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. It's important that we continue to think about these orthodoxies. And orthodoxies are vitally important to continue to maintain the doctrines that are passed down from generation to generation. It was crucial for me, even in my life as a young boy, when I go to my dad's church, which would be once in a while, that I heard these things on a regular basis. And for some reason, the church has, some churches have run away from orthodoxy because they're considered ritualistic or old. But when you hear the truths of that statement that the apostles brought to us as a creed, as something to share from generation to generation, it gets instilled in the hearts and in the minds of our young people, and they carry it. And in many cases, it's like the beginning that causes a thirst and a hunger for God's word, because we hear the doctrines and truths that are in it. So we're going to be dealing with some of that today and dealing with what we think about, that what we think about matters. What we think about matters. So before we get started, I want to pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness. Thank you for your word. Your word is true. You are truth. We thank you that in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, you have given us everything for life and godliness to clearly show and to live out and to set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. So, Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that the full counsel of your word is spoken. The Holy Spirit, you would implant your word deep in our minds and our hearts, and that it would produce fruit beyond measure. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness and goodness. And thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to read Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And then we'll go right into verse 8. As you guys remember in Philippians 4, 6, at the very end, he says concerning the people of Philippi that your names are written in the book of life. So your names are written in the book of life. Therefore, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He is near. And if he is near, then do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The question is, how much of our mind, how much time and space and thought do we give to God? The reality is, I think for many of us, our minds get distracted because we're worried about everything else that's around us. We're not worried about thinking about him, regardless of what's happening in our lives. We're human, and as a result, we worry and we think and we ponder on all the things you can't control. And that's very similar to what was happening among Euodia and Syntyche. They were too worried about their battle with each other, their lack of peace with each other, and not committed to the unity of the body. And so God reminds us again of what really matters. What happens to the mind when it gets distracted? When it thinks about everything else but him? Well, Justin Peters calls it the disengaged mind. And here's a statement. The disengaged mind is the enemy of the Christian. It's not engaged in the things that matter. It's disengaged from the things that matter. It's disengaged from the truth of the Word of God. It's disengaged from the doctrine. It's disengaged from Christ himself. We're too worried about other things. And so our minds and our energy and our thoughts and all the things that matter, that don't matter, we think about. But everything that does matter is an afterthought. Jesus reminds us of the importance of where our minds should be. In Matthew 22:37, he says, "And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And in Luke, it says, "And with all your strength, with all your heart, the deepest part of man, with all our soul, with our inner being, with all our mind, with every thought set upon Christ, and with all our strength, with our physical body." What he is saying is that you shall love God with every single ounce of your being, material and immaterial. And so Paul reminds us this in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally. What's interesting about this word finally means remaining, the rest, or the rest of things that remain. In other words, out of everything I've just told you, along with all of these other remaining things, brothers, whatever is true. What is the word true? The word true is literally true, loving the truth, speaking the truth, or truthfulness. Christ is truth. So whatever is true, whatever is of Christ, how much of him is your mind occupied with? How important is he to you? How much time? Do people really look at the reality that you are totally, completely sold out for Jesus, and the main person that you think about most of the time is him? Now, many would say, but you should also be thinking about your wife. If I'm thinking about Jesus, then I'm thinking about Jesus in my wife. Think about that. I don't think my wife's going to argue with that point. Whatever is honorable. The word honorable is respected or impressive, greatly respected. How much of God's things, his word, him, do you look at as impressive or greatly respected? See, when you respect something, you think about it. You spend time pondering these things. Whatever is just. Now, many would think that this idea of justice, social justice, that's not what this word is. Actually, it's not a very good translation. This is one of the words in ESV, and I'm like, it could have picked a better word. But understanding what God is talking about here, this idea of just means righteous. Whatever is right, virtuous, upright. Only Christ is righteous. There's no one righteous, no, not one. He alone is righteous. And he alone is respected and should be respected. So whatever is righteous, do you think about these things? When I think about righteousness, I think about the ways of God, which should be produced in our lives on a regular basis. Are we living righteously? I would say probably not, because we don't think righteously. Whatever is pure. Whatever is pure. And let me give you one more thing on the issue of righteous. It's also the idea of whatever is approved of or acceptable of God, holy. Is Christ holy to you? Have you set apart Christ in your heart as holy? So whatever is pure. This word pure is the idea of sacred or perfect, the most holy thing. That's probably one of the reasons why as men, this is probably the one thing we struggle with the most as men. Because men think about other things. We don't think like women think. We're easily distracted just by vision. Easily distracted by our own desires. And I shared this in early service also. When we look at the reality of things being sacred and or perfect or holy, have we really sanctified? Have we really looked at the reality that Christ is the most holy thing? I think for us as men, it's difficult. Then he says, whatever is lovely, whatever is acceptable or pleasing. So if Christ is the sacred one, do I look at him as the lovely one? As he is acceptable and pleasing? And are my thoughts and my deeds acceptable and pleasing to him? Or do I just find things wrong? Whatever is commendable. Commendable is this idea of sounding well, well spoken of, or reputable. Are our lives, do our thoughts reflect our lives? Do our thoughts in reality talk about what is well spoken of my life? Am I above reproach? It's sort of like this idea of what a man thinks, so he is. I like what Vodi Bakum says. A man doesn't do what he thinks. He does what he believes. Because eventually what you think about becomes what you believe. If you think little of Christ, then Christ will be little. But if you think great of Christ, the God of all creation, he will be the God of your life. We've talked about this before where we look at these things and we look at our lives as completely defeated. It's like everything I do, I just never get by. It's never enough. I can never finish. Why do bad things always happen to me? How much time and thought does Christ leave with you? How much time do you give to him? And how much time do you spend listening or reading his word? How much time do you love him? Or do you only love him when you're in need? Is your life a life of a sacrifice to him as a fragrant offering? Is your life reputable? You see, it's one of the things I think about, that my kids carry my name. And I want my name to be looked upon as a name that reflects Christ. That when they remember Cain, they don't remember me, but they remember Christ. The Cain family loves Jesus. That's what it means that we would be commendable, well spoken of. The second is, the last two is, if there is any excellence any excellence. The word excellence here is virtuous course of thought, moral excellence, praise, or virtue. You notice it's not by accident that this idea of excellence is what you think about. You will do what you think about. I mean, what you believe. What you believe is what you think about. How much time do you put on these thoughts? Because eventually you will believe it. If there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, this word praise is commendable, approbation, a very important word, this idea of worthy of all praise and glory. It says worthy of everything that you have in you to bring. Because in reality, if you don't praise, the rocks will praise. I think when we think about earthquakes, we look at them as a bad thing. I look at them really as the earth is praising God. If you're not going to do it, it's going to do it. So much so it shakes. When you think about the ocean and the ocean's roar, it praises God. When you think about the birds praise God. When you think about every animal that goes about and makes noise, whether it's the fox at night, it praises God. The earth and everything in it will praise God, even if God's people will not. Sadly, I think that God's people complain more than they praise. How can we miss this moment of praise and glory to the only God of all creation? Well, because our minds are too focused on our problems. And we miss the awesome, amazing, living God of all creation. The beautiful and lovely Christ. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this: If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. So not only should your minds be completely saturated with the reality of who Christ is, but you should be thinking about it all the time. You're like, but that's a Jesus freak. Exactly. You wonder why Christians live defeated lives. Because their mind isn't on the King. That doesn't mean that in our lives we're not going to struggle. But in reality, if we reset our minds back on Christ, this is what it says. Here it is, last principle. Live in such a way that others watch your life, that when others watch your life, they don't see you, they see Christ in you. Live in such a way that when others watch your life, they don't see you, they see Christ in you. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Philippians 4:9. What you have learned, and what you have learned, you have received, and what you have received, you have heard, and what you have heard, you have seen. Notice, when you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. It's interesting that Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. The Christian life is meant to be modeled, not only learned and received and heard, but seen. And not only seen, but modeled, practiced, lived out. Why? So that you will follow. You have godly men who love Christ, who live above reproach before you all the time. We are here as examples for you to follow. Not only follow, but you have learned. And not only are you learning, but you're receiving. And not only are you receiving, you are hearing now. all the time. And not only have you heard, but you have seen. You can live the life that Christ has called you to live, even in the midst of difficult and suffering times. And so, this is what Paul ends with, that when you practice these things, when you practice what? When you practice whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is righteous, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, set your mind on these things. Think about these things. Why? Because the peace of God, the God of peace, will be with you. It's an imperative. It's not that he's maybe. He will. And what else does he say? What else does he say in verse 7? He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You notice the continual thought here. If our minds are on Christ, we don't have to be anxious. If we think about Christ, we don't have to be anxious. That doesn't mean life's not going to happen. It means I don't have to be anxious about it. Why? Because he's near. He is with me. He is literally in me and with me all the time. I can call upon him anytime I need him. The problem is we want the answer now. We want the fast food Jesus. And that's not the way God works. Why? Well, he doesn't work that way because he has predestined you to be conformed into the image of his son. God doesn't take away your stuff because it's difficult. Because he has a bigger plan in your life than your comfort. His plan is to conform you into the image of Jesus. Without those things, you won't know and learn and develop the tools that are necessary in your mind to think about him all the time. Learning to suffer well is the reality of the character of surrender. But learning to praise him in the midst of the good and the bad is the reality of honor and peace. Christ is all you need. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. You need nothing but what's occupying your mind. Is it the things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable? Are you seeking to do all things in excellence? Is your life filled with the worthy things of praise? What do you think about? It's one thing to think about these things. It's another to literally live them. So whatever you have learned, whatever you've received, and whatever you've heard, and whatever you have seen in me, Paul says, and as your pastor, my greatest passion is to live out Christ. And I'm not perfect at it. But man, when he has the heart of the men of your church, follow. And practice these things. Test them out. Prove us to be true. And if you prove us to be false, then run. But the men of God, when they are living according to the truth of the word of God, when you get that, you hold on to it. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you that you have given us everything for life and godliness. Thank you that you have called us, implored us, entreated us to think about whatever is true and honorable, just and pure and lovely and commendable. That you have called us to excellence and to be thinking about the things that are worthy of praise. Help us to walk intimately with you in all things, to love you supremely more than we love anything and anyone else. Help us to be a light in a very dark, dark generation. Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.